T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Game 2 of the NBA Finals tomorrow night. We talk about that, plus we relive all the craziness from Game 1 with Bill Ryder. Does a great job on the CBS Sports Network. Bill, how you been?
I'm wonderful. I'm in Napa now. Life is great.
Oh, my God. So you must love the 2 off days between games.
Oh, it's amazing. I do miss the 2-3-2 schedule, even though I know 2-2-1-1-1 is better for the game. But, yes, like, the dragging out of the finals that's so obnoxious when I'm doing this from New York is a lot more pleasant when I'm doing it from the Bay Area.
You know what? I've been talking to myself about this, and I've been trying to sell Beningo on it. The reason why I don't mind it is I want guys healthy. I want guys fresh. I want the best kind of basketball. And it feels like this postseason has been affected not only by injuries but sometimes sluggish basketball. So maybe the extra off day actually helps in that regard.
Yeah, that's a great point. And, you know, not to belabor this, but LeBron James played the most minutes of any guy in the league this year. He's played 48 minutes basically twice in this postseason. The last couple of games, played 47 and change until the very end. And he's 33. I mean, you're right. Like, great for everybody and great for the greatest player on earth to hopefully have all of his powers, even if he doesn't have teammates who know what they're doing. They're going to make a series out of it.
Now, I'm going to complain about something. I like the two-minute report in terms of accountability. But what has always bothered me, and I brought this up the other day, is the NBA treats the last 2 minutes of a game as something that's more important than the rest of the 46 minutes. There can be a bad call with 5 minutes to go in the first quarter, and it feels at times like it's ignored. We don't get a two-minute report on it, and also you don't have a chance to review it. The biggest critique I hear sometimes about the NBA from non-basketball fans is, well, all I have to do is watch the last 2 minutes, right? Well, I don't believe that. I watch all 48 minutes. Don't you think that that kind of feeds into that when you ignore the rest of the 46 minutes that occurred?
Yeah, I agree. And I am also one of those guys who I roll my eyes and I frankly get angry when non-basketball fans try to make arguments that aren't based necessarily in reality. That one, that guys don't play defense, they don't share the ball, that's just not how modern basketball is played. But the NBA doesn't do itself any favors. And to your point, and I'm such a stickler on this, and I know I'm wrong, Evan. I know I'm wrong. I hate instant replay in MLB, in NFL, and in the NBA because I'm old school. But if you're going to do it the whole way through and make sure you get those calls right. Or if you're not, which I'd prefer, even though I'm probably wrong, then just don't and let the human error be part of the game. But consistency has to be part of the plan, especially as the NBA. And I think it will, Evan. I think it's going to grow the game potentially in a big way in the next 20 years. That's all about bringing in new fans and overcoming whatever perspectives they have about the game that are right or wrong that's holding them back from really committing to the association.
And the funny thing is, the NBA, when you go to, and this is why my wife loves going to basketball games. If you ask her what game she'd rather go to, she'll say NBA because she knows what time we're going to get there, what time the game's going to start, and in general, what time the game is going to end. You know, barring a triple overtime game, it is a very quick game. It's 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes. This is when it's going to end. We're going to move on. This isn't baseball, where if you add more replay to baseball or football, you're talking about a game that's going to be even longer. It's going to be 4 hours long. Basketball takes 2 hours and 15 minutes, 2 hours and 20 minutes. So I want them to get a call right with 5 minutes to go in the second quarter, especially if it's the third foul on my best player, because you're a Knicks fan and KP has to go out with his fourth foul early. That's a big freaking deal.
Yeah, Klay Thompson earlier in the last series, right, against Houston. Yeah. Going, I think he did pick up all three, but you're right, first minute, three fouls. That's a great point. It's funny. I have 2 young kids. I have an 8-year-old and a 5-year-old, boy and a girl. And I live in Brooklyn. We take them to Nets games because my kids love sports, especially my son who's 5. He just can't make it through a football game and certainly not a baseball game. Go to a baseball game with my kid. We're leaving the 5th inning, and I feel like I'm a communist leaving a game early. Basketball, you're right. Like you can do it in a small chunks. And I'm a little bit older. I'm 40, and a lot of these get kids in their 20s. Like people have short attention spans. But to your point, You gotta get these calls right, however you're going to do it.
Now, with that said, you know, JR's taking a lot of heat, and I get it because he's a dope. But can George Hill hit that second free throw? I mean, that's really what started this whole thing.
Yeah, J.R. Smith is a dope. I had this argument on the radio show with some guys last night. George Hill's an 80% free throw shooter. You're a veteran. LeBron doesn't need a lot of help, apparently, to pull the 13. I think there were 13-point dogs, the huge upset. He just needs a veteran 80% free throw shooter to hit the second free throw. It is a choke job extraordinaire. And I thought, and I hate to be that guy, but along with the officiating J.R. Smith, and I do think the officials were brutal in that game, George Hill was the, of the three problems, was the ultimate problem. Because you hit that, I think it's a totally different series.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Look, Steph Curry could hit a buzzer beater. Kevin Durant could hit a buzzer beater. It's certainly possible, but at least you give yourself, I'd say, better than 50-50 shot of escaping game one. And what's depressing is that if Cleveland wins game one, not that we're sitting here thinking they're going to win this series, but there's just a very different feeling about this series and a different feeling about game two. Now it just feels like the Cavs blew their opportunity.
Although the Cavs are really good at home. I mean, Cavs are 8-1 at home in the postseason this year. And interestingly, the Warriors are 4-4 on the road in the playoffs this season. All the numbers, sort of three-point shooting, net rating, all that stuff, very different for both teams, home versus road. So you grab game one, you infuse, if you're LeBron, your guys with this sense of invincibility. Like, hell, we got LeBron. He scored 50 points. We can do this. I think, I don't want to get too carried away and be too much a captive of the moment, but I covered that 3-1 comeback a couple years ago. I can remember a team, same odds, plus 650, 6.5 to 1 dogs, just like Cleveland in the finals, that Pistons team in, 2004, I think, against the Lakers. Yeah. Like, crazy stuff happens, but you have to win that game one to make the crazy stuff be possible.
How do they respond in game two? I mean, do you see JR? Because I was mentioning this earlier. JR could erase everything from game one if he comes out and has a big-time performance in game two. We know he's capable of it. We've seen it before. But do you feel at all positive that this Cav team can respond after suffering such a brutal loss in game one?
I don't. I hope I'm wrong. I've been wrong before. I'd love to be wrong here. I'd love to extend the series. My time on the West Coast. But, no, I think it breaks J.R. Smith. George Hill entering this series was shooting something like 17% from threes on the road. It breaks George Hill. I mean, LeBron's going to be LeBron, and obviously the guy can go off for 50, 10, and 10 and still lose a game. But I think what happened to that Cavs team is going to fell whatever confidence those role players had. And the Warriors have been so lackadaisical throughout the entire season, postseason. It's going to wake them up, shoving the ball in Draymond's green by Tristan Thompson. LeBron talking smack to Steph Curry. I think the Warriors are going to come out looking to brutalize these guys, and I think you're going to see everyone but LeBron be a little flat-footed and hesitant, and it's going to be a beatdown.
Unfortunately, we're talking to Bill Ryder. How about the way Cleveland beat him up on the offensive glass? Any concern moving forward about the Warriors' inability to rebound? Because remember, think about what led to the JR play. I mean, him getting boxed out by Kevin Durant being boxed out by JR Smith, but how about the Warriors' issues on the glass in game one?
You know, I'm not as worried about it because I've seen this before in past finals where they get out-rebounded, but they're able to hit big shots, and they hit so many three-point shots. Now, the Cavs should be able to narrow that advantage because the Cavs were a great three-point shooting team in the regular season. It's weird. They just haven't been in the regular season. As much as the Cavs were not as good this year as in past years, it was supposed to be, Evan, the defense. I think they're 27th in the defensive rating. They just haven't shot the rock well from three, which means as long as the Warriors can keep shooting the ball pretty well from deep and Clay's been better, Steph's been Steph again, Kevin Durant's a whole other story, it makes up a lot of that ground just in terms of the numbers on getting out rebounded. And if Kevin Durant gets his act together, because he's just looked lost, he should at least be able to contribute a little bit on the rebounding end. He's just, and not to fall down that rabbit hole, he's been such a disaster on so many levels. But to answer your question, I'm not as worried about it as long as Steph and Clay and maybe KD are shooting the three the way that they have.
By the way, and I think this is forgotten about because of everything that happened in the fourth quarter of this game, how about that JaVale McGee sequence? I mean, we saw the great of JaVale McGee. We saw the awful of JaVale McGee. He gets blocked by the rim. How about that sequence from JaVale in game one?
I know. Dude, just lay the ball in. If that blocked by the rim. Yeah, and that's the other thing about the Warriors, and they're going to have an utterly total – they're going to have – next year their bench will be totally different. All these guys are going to be gone. And I know LeBron doesn't have any help, but the Warriors team is four dudes and whoever they throw around him, and they find ways to make it work. And if you're going to have a chance to, again, to win a game and everything's going right and the Warriors get blocked by the rim, right, the rim has a critical stop. You got to find a way to win that game.
Do you think Tristan Thompson should have been suspended?
I don't. I think it's a close call, and I understand that maybe within the framework of the rules, even Kevin Love, But we saw this 2 years ago, where Draymond should have been suspended 2 years ago, and it still impacted the course of the game. To your point earlier, it's just for people that don't like the sport, it'll give them reasons to pretend that these guys aren't worth rooting for. No, I think, I think it was the right call to eject him, because from the angle the official was at, it looked like he put his elbow up, which is an automatic ejection. From another angle, it looked to me like he was closing out and a little pissed off, so you kick him out of the game. The game's over. He shouldn't have reacted the way that he did, shouldn't have shoved the ball in Draymond's face. In a regular season game, it probably warrants a suspension. I'm glad they didn't, because you want the series to be as competitive as possible. And I think even though there's rules in these things, you got to take it in the context of the emotion and the fact that it's the finals. And I think the league office got it right.
You know, I was trying to explain the other day to my wife how good LeBron was, because I was saying comments to her like, this is the greatest of all time, which I'm not sure if I really believe. But in the context of a game, you start to think things like that. And I said to her, and I'm telling me if I went overboard here, because again, it's the context of watching LeBron look amazing. I said, here's how good LeBron is. If you put LeBron James on the Brooklyn Nets, I'm in the NBA Finals. If you put LeBron James on the Knicks, they're in the NBA Finals. Am I going too far to say if you put LeBron on any team in the Eastern Conference, they're not in the NBA Finals, but they're damn close to the NBA Finals?
No, I actually think you're right. Let's take the Nets, who, I know you're a Nets guy. Unfortunately, they weren't the team a little bit better than people expected. They're in the NBA Finals, and there's a chance that his teammates, A, hit a free throw, or B, know how to look at what the scoreboard says, right? So they might even be up 1-0 in the NBA Finals. You're absolutely right. And I'm a child of Jordan. I grew up in the Chicago suburbs. I'm at that age. He's the reason I love the NBA more than any other sport. And I hate saying it out loud because it actually pains me. And I used to argue obnoxiously, I don't know, 6 years ago, this could never be true. I do think he's the greatest of all time. Think about this. If the guy stays healthy, and it's happened in football, Tom Brady, if he averages 22 points a game for the next 5 years, a pass-first all-time superstar is going to be the all-time leading scorer in NBA history, and he's going to be top five in assists, and he's taking this group of bums to the finals. I'm with you, dude. I hate it. I hate that you're making me say this on the radio, but I think he is the best of all time.
Do you get a sense of what he's going to do? Does anybody get a sense of what he's going to do after the season? If he just hates Dan Gilbert, so he's going to screw him again? Like, well, what's he going to do?
People are losing their minds. I said this on the radio show, and it's not real, but I'll say it to you because you're a Nets fan. I had one guy that I know in the league who's like a water cooler gossip. This isn't sourcing. It's a guy that's connected, but he's full of crap 80% of the time. Tell me that he heard KD and was going to opt out, and he and LeBron were going to go to the Nets.
What?
Like, that's how
what?
It's not going to happen.
What?
It's just like
what?
That's how ludicrous it's gotten. No one knows. They're just making things up. I mean, I do think that there's a half percent chance. Half percent.
What?
KD and LeBron could
what?
Go somewhere.
Where? Yeah. Where? To Brooklyn? I mean, don't do this to me.
I know. It's not going to happen. I shouldn't have said it. But a guy said it to me. Like, you know, I make the rounds, I make the calls, I have different sources,
bro.
And I got a guy, but he's wrong. 4 out of 5.
80% of the time he's wrong. I'll take my 20%. I'll take it. Run.
This one's wrong. This one. But the point is, nobody knows. I don't think it'll be Cleveland now. I think that moment where he looked at J.R. Smith was the end of his love for Northeast Ohio, or at least play in there. The Lakers, Houston, Philly. But I do think there's always the possibility of some shocking move. And again, not to get your hopes up, because I've talked to this about guys who cover the Warriors. They think I'm an idiot. That's fine. Kevin Durant does not like playing Warriors basketball. I don't think he's leaving, but he and LeBron are super tight. I think it could be – I mean, San Antonio wouldn't shock me. I don't think LeBron knows where he's going, but I think he's making up his mind that he's leaving Cleveland.
I hate you because you put this stupid thing in my mind on a Saturday, and all I'm going to think about are those two guys in Brooklyn next year. Oh.
I mean, can you imagine? They have the cap space. It's New York City, right?
No.
Like.
I can't imagine it. I'm answering your question. The answer is no, I cannot imagine it.
It's probably the healthy choice by you.
Very good. Bill, I appreciate it, man. Thanks for popping on.
Thanks, dude.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.